Mighty fortress is our God. You know why they sang it? Because of him. Because of Martin Luther. Or because of the Luther minister. After it was over, they took off the top of their robes, and those women walked around half naked as ushers. After it was over, some of the ministers asked me, Brother Stegmaier, how did you like it? I said, it was despicable, a reproach. If D.S. Warren knew what was going on here tonight, he would have turned over in his grave. We were taught false religion has nothing for us. Nothing for us. Some of these great men, yes, someone got after me recently and said that you're making light of these older ministers like John Charles Wesley and Martin Luther. No, God used them. God used them. And we have some jewels from them, right? We have some truths that they brought out. I'm not against that. John Charles Wesley, Martin Luther, these were, and almost every great reformer was a musician. Hello, almost every great reformer was a musician. D.S. Warner, the Wesleyan brother wrote some awesome hymns. Martin Luther. All right, he felt the music, this Martin Luther, he felt the music was of God, not of man. He was determined to restore congregational singing in the German language to the church. And the first time I ever heard, I'm free, free, I am from sin, I can't sing, I am from sin and set free. You know what song I'm talking about? Touch creatures no more, divide my choice. Anyway, I heard that in the German language in Canada. We used to go years ago to Canada, to the German churches. And this little man sang it, and Brother Vossler knows who that was. He sang that song in German. So strong were his beliefs about music and worship that he wrote these fiery words next to the Word of God. The noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. That's true. We're blessed with such a beautiful legacy of hymns. We are so blessed. I'll tell you what. If nothing else, I mean everything else, all the truth, but if nothing else, the hymns that we have been bequeathed by the Six Seal Brethren to me is definitely, which we say, a sign or a confirmation that God's in what we're doing, where we are. Come on now. All these hymns that we sing, Be Ye Warned, yes, and Naylor, and they say that Be Ye Warned was the Fanny Crosby of the Church of God. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000. All right. So the background of the psalm we just read, King of Babylon. This psalm was written by Jeremiah when the Jewish people were held captives in the country of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had besieged Jerusalem in 605 B.C. and he destroyed the city and the temple. Psalm 137 is an incredibly sad psalm. Again, the reason I preached this recently to my church at home, I didn't use a PowerPoint, because I remember this growing up as a child. The people in our congregation, Brother and Sister Mullen, and after them, our congregation was very musical. And the musicians said, how can we sing these songs anymore? Something is going on. People don't know what we're singing about. There's no rejoicing. Huh? How about that? And it bothered them. Psalm 137 is this incredibly sad song. You don't hear the song we sing out of the evening light. Hymnal and those in any place but here or where there's a real church of God. Psalm 137 is an incredibly sad song. The Jews are being insulted by the Babylonians in Babylon. They were asked to sing some of the songs of Zion so the Babylonians can make fun. In my many years of being in the Church of God, I've seen musicians come to the Church of God and make fun. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, this bar doesn't have the right meter and so forth, and the ending of this song should be brought differently and all that. They're beautiful. God's songs are beautiful. As predicted, Brother Ward brought a beautiful message along this line. As predicted, the Babylon captivity, God saw that it was going to happen, right? He didn't do it because he predicted it. He saw that it was going to happen. As predicted, the Babylonian captivity lasted exactly 70 years. From the burning of the temple in Jerusalem to its reconstruction in 586 B.C. to 516. A number of the Jews from the ancient kingdom of Babylon were held captives in Babylon. Some people are held captive in false religion, right? This is for you and me to bring them out. If there's something I'd like to see among us in a greater way, that's more of an evangelistic spirit. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Are you hearing me? You're not. Let me see him.
Yes.
I'd like to see a more evangelistic spirit among us as people.
Yes.
Jehovah's Witnesses, they're out there. Mormons are out there. And when I see them going to homes, it troubles me. We, of all people, should be more evangelistic, spreading the truth, being a little more aggressive. All right, let's go on. The Chaldeans deported the Jews after they had conquered Jerusalem in 597 BC. Certainly not the entire nation was taken. Around 10,000 people were forced to relocate to the city of Babylon, the capital of the Chaldean Empire. Now, and this is what happens. People who end up in Babylon, a Babylonian institution, because of disobedience. Walking behind light. All of us. I've been coming here 57 years. This is my 57th year in August of coming here. And if everyone was here, this building couldn't contain them. It could not contain the thousands. But it's because of disobedience, turning down light and understanding. People do it so flippantly. Because of disobedience and serving other gods, and there are lots of gods, gods of this world, right? Materialism. Another thing that troubles me about a lot of Church of God people, they're so materialistic minded. Materialistic minded. If there isn't money in it, we're not going to do it. If we can't get something out of cash wise or money, we're not in it. Hello? When we first started pastoring, we got $40 a week. My wife knew how to make tuna fish in about 1,000 ways. My kids said, Mom knew how to make tuna fish in 1,000 ways. I mean what I say. We become too materialistic. I've often thought, when Jesus talked to that rich young ruler, he said, what do I do? What should I do? What should I do? Jesus said, sell everything you have. Oh, I can't do that. I wonder about Church of God people, if God would say, sell everything you have and go over to Israel, or go over to Arabia, or go over to India or China. Would they do it? Or would they say, I'm married to my possessions? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. You personalize it if you want to. Hello. You say, Brother Stegman, you cause a lot of problems. I don't want to cause a problem, but I think it's applicable to us. Huh? Hello. I just like to see more giving and less of our hearts put on material things. Because we're going to leave it one of these days. I tell you what, in my life, the older I get, the less I get involved with material things. I really don't care. I really don't care. What's the color of your house? I don't know. I really don't care. Hello? What kind of car do you want to drive? I don't care, just so it runs. Just gets me there. Okay, you see, you're crazy. All right. You're not the only one that said that. Because of disobedience and serving other gods, the Israelites were sent into captivity. After this form of discipline, the Jewish nation learned to fear and worship God according to righteousness. All right, let's take the psalm apart quickly. Verses 1 and 2, it's a melancholy, sad song. Sad. The melancholy sad we heard yesterday morning. We can make the Spirit of God sad. The melancholy, sad captives cannot enjoy themselves because they're captives in a strange land. And you and I cannot enjoy ourselves in Babylon.
True.
Come on now.
Yes.
We cannot enjoy ourselves in Babylon. If we do, there's something wrong. 3 and 4. They do not want to honor their proud oppressors because God's songs are sacred. It bothers me when people sing these songs and they have long, shaggy hair. And you know, when the Bible says men shouldn't have long, shaggy hair, hello, and they get there, make all these gyrations and get all this money. Hello, they're making merchandise off of sacred things. They're making merchandise off of sacred things. They do not want to honor their proud oppressors. God's songs are sacred, not for performance. We're not to sing the songs of Zion to perform.
No.
There's a message.
Amen.
There's something in there for people to listen and better them. God's songs are sacred, not for performance, but a spiritual, personal expression from the heart. All right. Sorry, my wife says she's my helper. Yes. No, they do not want to humor their proud oppressors. That's right. They didn't want to humor, make him happy, right? God's songs are sacred, not for performance, but a spiritual, personal expression from the heart. The other day, I just got to tell you, personal here, but my Doctor of Divinity family wanted to do something for us. And so they bought us these tickets to a modern performance. So we went, and I was so miserable, I was just about to die. I just about died. So I told my wife, we're out of here. We are out of here. Well, they couldn't understand why we're still leaving right away. I said, I'm so uncomfortable. I said, the chair I'm sitting on is on fire. No, I didn't say that, but I could not enjoy it because it seemed to be making a mockery of sacred things of God, laughing and carrying on. And I said, let's get on. They couldn't believe that we were going, yeah, we got to go. These captive Jews cannot forget Jerusalem. They have a problem forgiving. Now, Edom and Babylon. The Edomites had assisted the Babylonians in destroying the city of Jerusalem by slaughtering and looting the rival nation of Judah. Rather than helping the Judeans, they assisted the Babylonians in destroying Judah. All right, they wept. Why? Jerusalem, the temple, had been destroyed, their place of worship. Amen, had been destroyed. They were living in captivity. And spiritual captivity is a terrible thing, right?
Yes.
Spiritual captivity. Would they be traitors? How about if they sang God's songs there, couldn't they be a traitor? Huh? If we sing our songs in Babylon, could we be a traitor? Perhaps. Their future looked bleak, dreary, and depressing. The sins that brought Judah's and God's judgment upon them grieved them. These are some things they wept about. All right, I'm going to go to the scriptures just quickly here. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept. Now, I remember as a child growing up, we had a lot of music people in our church, and they would bring this. We cannot sing these songs anymore, no more. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon willows in the midst there. Perhaps they thought maybe sometime we'll pick them up. Maybe sometime. I got to tell you something. I don't know if I have it on my slides, but years ago I was a pianist, and back in about 1955, we were in a quandary as a people. We had come out of a very backslidden place, but we weren't sure what to do yet. But we had people coming in, and I was playing the piano, and a man told me, he said, do you want to go to heaven? I said, well, yes, I certainly do. He said, you got to quit playing that piano. Well, it troubled me. It troubled me. I don't know if it's on there, but I'll tell you, it troubled me. As a young person growing up, it was always in the back of my mind. I've got it on the slide here. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How should we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, he pronounced a judgment upon himself. That sing, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem, but my chief joy. And I can honestly say, from the bottom of my heart, the church is my chief joy.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
I can say from the bottom of my heart, without a problem in my conscience, the church is my chief joy. Hello? What is your chief joy? Shouldn't it be the work of God? I look here, I can tell there where people's hearts are. And my chief joy is the congregation. Further to continue. Amen. This singer pronounced a curse upon himself if he sang Zion's songs in Babylon. His right hand would be incapable of playing the harp, and his tongue we become unable to sing. From the International Children's Bible, says Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my right hand lose its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. Let these things happen if I do not think about Jerusalem as my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom who helped the Babylonians. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art thou to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dashed thy little ones against the stone. That's pretty strong.
Wow.
Amen. In Isaiah 51:11, I think how this was fulfilled with the sixth seal church of God. Hello, we have songwriters today, but not as many as they had in the sixth seal, right? We have songwriters today who write beautiful hymns, but the sixth seal had many. Till we have hymnals full of the church. And if God wasn't that, I don't know what. God was in that. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Come and see unto Zion the church. Hebrews 12:22-23. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee. 35:10, the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. Is that the same scripture? No, it's different. All right. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Very similar. All right, there is a spiritual now. We all know this, and I've alluded to that many times. There is a spiritual application to Psalm 137. We have a modern-day Babylon around us. Amen. And after these things, what things? Unclean spirits are gathering together all religious bodies not married to Christ into what is called Babylon, right? Yeah. Now, I believe this, that when Christ comes, everyone who's a Christian will be out of Babylon.
Right.
That's the way I see it.
Right.
Everyone who's a Christian will be out of Babylon when Christ comes. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. See, my concern as a minister, I want to progress.
Yeah.
I want my congregation to progress. Hello. As I said, we have the truth. We've got the tools. We've got the tools. Oh, we've got the tools. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. He cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every false spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine, and they've become inebriated off the doctrines in Babylon, right? Once in grace, always in grace. Why should I be concerned? Hello. I signed the church register. I was baptized when I was 3 months old. Refuge of lies, right? We hear that. I've met with that. People say, I was baptized when I was a child, Brother Stegmaier. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. How about Joe Osteen? Hello. It's deplorable. Come on now, he's not the only one. I heard another voice from heaven saying, what? Come out of her. Come out of her. Come out of her. One place it says, and touch what? Touch not the unclean. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, receive not of her plagues. And I'm sure these brethren, Brother Duvall and Brother Borders can bring more than these, but the plagues, darkness, wasn't there darkness upon Egypt? The frogs, and on it goes. Hello, death, mourning, sighing. All right. These are the two hymnals, and you don't have to. I mean, we personally use these two hymnals. One reason we use this one is it has a lot of Fanny Crosby's. And yes, people say, was she Church of God? Well, I'll tell you something. Now, you may not see quite like I do, but if a person is living a godly life, a holy life, God can use them.
Yeah. Yes.
And I believe that God used Fannie Crosby. I do. I believe that God used her. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. And her hymns, "Oh, the Unsearchable Riches." My wife played that last night. I thought it was, it's so inspiring. Who wrote that? Fannie Crosby. "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," right? All right, so we use these hymnals because there are lots of Fannie Crosbys in this that we don't have here. We use those two hymnals. During my time in the chaplain's office, I was in the chaplain's office in the Air Force for a while, and I could tell you the names of some of them. Zabo and Miller were two of them down at, have you heard of Wilmington Air Force Base? Wilmington, is that right? Below Springfield? Come on, you people. Okay. Wilmington Air Force Base? That's where I was stationed for a while. Anyway, chaplains were, it was Zabo and Dr. Miller. Anyway, during my time in the chaplain's office in the Air Force, I would hear chaplains speak about removing songs that mention the blood of Christ out of the Air Force hymnal. That's all over now in the Church of God. Get rid of all the old Church of God hymns and just religious, secular religion. They want to get rid of, at least they would have heard this in the service, of that songs that have the word blood in them. However, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." I'm about done. All right, thank you for listening. Some hymns that speak of the blood that we sing home, our choir sings some of this, the congregation sings some of this. Are you washed in the blood? We know that, right? There's nothing wrong with those songs. "At the cross, alas, indeed, there's power in the blood. Glory to His name. Jesus paid it all." When I was in the service, that was one of my favorite songs right there. "Jesus paid it all. Nothing but the blood. There is a fountain, the old rugged cross." This is another, as I close, this is another awesome song in the Church of God. "Without spot and blameless, O Savior. What a glorious church thou hast built. For this thou dost patiently suffer. For this was thy blood freely spill." We need those songs. "Without spot and blameless. My brother, she lives neath the all-cleansing blood. In heaven and earth there is no other. Her builder maker is God. Without spot and blameless, so holy. See the church in her beauty sublime." And I want to say this. I have lots of things in my heart and my mind. The beauty of the church is not in how we dress.
Amen.
Did you get what I said?
Amen.
The beauty of the church is not how fancy we dress. To me, there's some places in some too much fancy dressing.
Amen.
You're just your old fuddy-duddy. Some look at me and go, we are attracting attention to ourselves. What should be beautiful is our demeanor. I probably won't be long for this world. I say too long already. But I say this, the beauty of the church is not how we dress. It's in our demeanor, our submission to Christ. Probably the most beautiful woman in the Bible is Mary. She said, "Be it unto me whatever you say." Huh? You say, "Brother Stamer shouldn't be around." Hello. The beauty of the church should be in our actions, our submission, our attitude.
Amen.
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 He will beautify the meek with salvation.
Amen.
"Without spot and blameless, so holy. See the church in her beauty sublime. She lives in the bright hills of glory. She reigns over sin all the time. Without spot and blameless, He bought her in the likeness of heaven above. From depths that were sinful, He sought her and filled her with infinite blood." Love. A couple of days ago, I got something. I'm not on Facebook, but someone forwarded a clipping from Facebook to me. And we had a prisoner. We've had several, but one was saved here about 20 years ago, just off the street, was running the law, but lived an awesome life, was in prison for about 17 years, but got gloriously saved. And anyway, God did a great work in his life. But I spoke on three different television stations in the Portland area, and people called. And one of his family members called and said, that wasn't the man that we knew. I said, that's the power of salvation and the new birth. His daughter put something on Facebook, and someone forwarded it to me. And she said, for 20 years, I could not think of enjoying a Father's Day. But she said, this year I can enjoy it because my father was gloriously saved. And now I glory in that which God made him.
Yes. Yes.
It was beautifully worded. Yeah. Amen. God's out to save from the lowest, from the depths. And she said he couldn't have destroyed our family in a worse way. She said he could not have destroyed our family in a worse way. But he got saved. And now our family is being put back together because of what God made him.
Amen.
Just remarkable. Without spot and blameless, he bought her in the likeness of heaven above. He was a gypsy, raised in the gypsy church, and they were Pentecostal. He said, they were notorious for fighting and bickering and carrying on. But he said, I never saw true Christianity until I came to the Church of God. Without spot and blameless, he bought her in the likeness of heaven above. From depths that were sinful, he sought her and filled her with infinite love. She's blameless. Without spot or wrinkle, from the last stain of sin, she's free. With blood, again from the cross, he did sprinkle her altar. Brother Wilson said, the altar, right, of cleansing for me. All right, the text I close. How shall we sing? We're privileged to have songs that are unique to the Church of God. And we ought to thank God for them. I had somewhere there when I took education at the university, they said you always should have an objective. I erased it some way. I erased it. My objective was to stir up a deeper appreciation in our heart of the Church of God hymns. Have I done that? All right.
Yes.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this precious group of people. We love them. We believe they're the finest people on earth. We definitely do. We pray, help us to continue on serving thee. We need you, dear God. Without you, we can do nothing, as the word tells us in the 14th chapter of John. We need you, dear God. Bless each and every one. Bless the house of worship tonight. We ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.